Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
11 o'clock hour of Cody and Gold here, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclynn.com. Steven Serta, Cody Tapp, Alex Gold with you. Reminder, we're off to Miami along with the other, two shows here. Festico in the Morning and The Drive. Also, Ryan Wachowski, BK, making our way down there on Sundays, kicking off our coverage. Make sure you're following not only our station, but us. We head down there on Twitter, at Alex Gold, at Cody B. Tapp, at Steven Serta, at 610 Sports. KC, how to get in touch with us on Twitter. Andy Reid, about 50 minutes away. One of, let's see, over the next week and a half.
Expect to hear from Andy a lot.
I was going to say, how many times? What, six times? Between now and Super Bowl 54? Not a bad thing.
Get a little test of or taste of Ned's life.
Oh, yeah.
Baseball managers have to talk way more than football coaches on that end. Way more. Not even just a little, a lot.
Also 30 minutes away from your next code word or a national cash contest, a chance at $1,000. So Dan Orlovsky, who actually was on this station last week, as a matter of fact, I believe, talking about the Chiefs and their chances against the Tennessee Titans and the play of Patrick Mahomes. Well, everybody trying to find that angle, I feel like, and it's going to happen more and more and more about, all right, well, this should scare the hell out of the Chiefs, or this should scare the hell out of the 49ers, or this is an advantage for one team. And it was a pretty unbelievable stat that Dan Orlovsky uncovered about the 49ers defense and really top defenses in football. He was on Get Up on ESPN with Greeny and the guys there. Just listen to what he had to say about the top two defenses.
Two defense has been in the Super Bowl 20 times, 20 of the previous 50, second in the league in defense this year. A top two defense has been in the Super Bowl 20 times, 20 of the previous 53 games. Just very quickly, think about it for a minute. What do you think the record is for the legendary defense, a top two defense in the league in the Super Bowl out of 20 games? As you think about it, go ahead, Hembo, pop the answer. 15-5.
Wow.
In the Super Bowl. So 75% of the time is the answer to your question directly. And I'm hearing in my ear, who's surprised it's not better? Our producer, Nick Scala,
I was going to say 17-3.
Yeah, but then seeing 18 points per game, like those five losses could have been like 2017 type games. So the 18 points per game is impressive in a Super Bowl.
You think about the Patriots teams, you think about the Buffalo Bills, they all include Bill Belichick.
Well, and one thing, guys, one of the teams was the 2014 Seahawks versus Patriots you were talking about. It might should be 16-4, if you think about what happened that year.
Correct.
So the quarterback, that's Brady, so greatest of all time. And then I would imagine it's Rodgers. You brought up Rodgers versus the Steelers in 2011.
2011, I don't know if they were one of the top two that year. They were.
And so that's kind of the game, the Super Bowl, that sends Rodgers into the, is he going to be the greatest quarterback ever? Yeah. So that's what's on the table for Mahomes this year.
So the point is, we sort of put this one together by the seat of our pants, but I thought that it was kind of worth getting in here, that historically speaking, and the game has changed and evolved, and Mahomes is special beyond special. Historically speaking, when one of the best defenses in the NFL gets into the Super Bowl, they win 75% of the time.
So 15-5.
It's a hell of a stat.
For top two defenses, which the San Francisco 49ers are, I did look up the rest of them. I know they were having a group conversation about who the five quarterbacks would be. The five losses in those games against the five teams that beat the top two defenses were Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Terry Bradshaw, Jim Plunkett, and Joe Theismann. So three Hall of Famers and two quarterbacks who were playing at a pretty high level at that time. And while, that probably stat maybe factors back into what we talked about last week, which was, remember, in the last 5 years, in AFC championship game championship game rematches, the teams who had won the regular season matchup were 6-1. So the Chiefs were fighting against those odds. This stat obviously favors the team with the top-rated defense that goes with it. The thing, though, is you go back through those matchups, The quarterbacks who won are the good ones, which is why you always get to erase. Like, the exceptions to the rule always in these cases are the fact that when you've got an elite quarterback, you don't necessarily have to worry about it. Now, I understand why that's a concerning stat. The more concerning stat part of it is the part that Dan Orlovsky points out at there, is that during all of those matches, so in those 20 games, even in the ones that they won, the average points per game given up by the top two defense in the NFL come Super Bowl time was 18. 18. That, to me, was a shockingly low number, considering what I would expect the Chiefs' offense to put up in any game.
Right, and that's the thing. I look at this, and certainly this stat I put way more credence in than I did that conference championship rematch stat. I think we probably both would agree with that. But at the same time, I'm looking at this, and it's 20-game sample size. It is a 15-5 record, and we view Mahomes 2 years into his career potentially at someday going to be in the company of some of those Hall of Famers that we mentioned there. But where I don't put as much credence, the part where it's average giving up 18 points, that's where I look at it and I say, okay, this is just so much different. Like, this day and age of the NFL, as a matter of fact,
three
too.
Three of these,
like,
Bradshaw, Plunkett, Theismann obviously took place at the time of the NFL that are different than they
so
are
so that's
now.
My only problem with it. It is a 20-game sample size, but when I see average given up of these top two defenses that play in Super Bowls, it's just 18 points, and we look at what Kansas City's doing and where it seems like you're going to score 30 points almost every
single
game.
Even what the 49ers
game.
Have been doing offensively.
Yes, and so, even this past week, they still gave up 20, wasn't it, to the Packers? I understand it was late, but still they gave up 20 points to the Packers. And that's a Packers offense. That's not anywhere near what the Chiefs' offense is, and certainly Rodgers is fantastic, but Mahomes is playing on a different level than Rodgers has the last couple of seasons. So I'm kind of torn on the stat as a whole. Like, it's a hell of a stat. It's impressive. It could be jarring for Chiefs fans to hear that. But at the same time, when you start mentioning the 18 points part, then I'm like, okay, does that really apply here? Because is this really going to be a game where either team is holding the other to 18? Like, that goes both ways here. Do we think either team is going to be held to 18 points or less in Super Bowl 54? I'll take that bet with anybody. If anyone wants to make that bet, I'll sign me up for that right now, because that would be stunned.
No, I don't think they're going to hold him to 18. But it concerns me that that's the number. Because obviously there have been bigger numbers that have won those Super Bowl games, and there are low numbers that have won those Super Bowl games that bring it in. But let's just say the weighted average of all of this, and the Chiefs are down to 24. That's a number they can be beat at.
Yeah.
The Chiefs can be beat if they only get 24. They can be beat consistently at that number. And that's not a knock on the defense. That's a credit to what the 49ers have done offensively most of this year, and what I expect to be yet another high-scoring game, just like I anticipated the Chiefs and Titans being a pretty high-scoring game. And it was. They covered the over by a fair margin. By a pretty fair margin. Because I think even by game time, it got to 53.5 of that one. And they covered that with, no trouble to spare. And so, I understand, 15-5 is a large sample size, and if you're saying Bradshaw, Plunkett, Theismann is a different era. And of that Bradshaw team, not only were they good defensively, that was a really good offense. Right? So and they're not the top two defense during that stretch. I understand that. But they were a good offense and had a good defense. Those Redskins teams had a really good defense. That Rodgers team was just freight carried by Aaron Rodgers alone. Brady's always had some really good defenses. So it goes on the other side, and this is the thing that might stun you about that. Moving towards the other side, because you have preconceived notions about both these teams. We both do. We've watched all, including preseason games, 22 games of the Chiefs this year. Although, admittedly, I didn't watch a lot of that fourth preseason game. I didn't watch a ton of it.
Where were you for that one, huh?
Still on Royals coverage.
I was going to say. You mean you weren't paying that close attention to, at that time, I guess, what Chad Henne. Or it might have been Shermer's kid.
Yeah, whoever. Kyle Shermer. Yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter who. I didn't pay a lot of attention to that one. But I've watched a fair amount of 49ers because they've been on the national screen quite a bit. And they've been, so you have preconceived notions about these teams. So when I give you those stats, you're like, okay, well, Chiefs got their hands full. Top two defense at the NFL, what are they going to do? 49ers have their handful. Top offense in the NFL, what are they going to do? Let me throw one more stat at you. Opposite from the other thing, of your preconceived notion, who would you have assumed had the better scoring defense in the NFL, as in average less points per game?
Right away, you're saying 49ers.
Niners, right? I just told you the top two defense in the NFL. The Chiefs' defense has allowed less points per game this year than the Niners. 308 to 310. It's 2 points.
Very close.
But that was the standard. Like, in baseball, it's always like, well, what's your run differential? That's the stat we really judge you on. What's your point differential in football? People really judge you on that. People judge your defense on how many points you give up. The Chiefs have given up less points than the 49ers this year. On the flip side, the 49ers have scored more points than the Chiefs, and I sure as hell wouldn't have guessed that either. 479 points scored by the 49ers, 451 by the Chiefs. Then the question is, what do you tell yourself about that, right? What does that tell you about it? To me, it proves that both these teams are even. And you shouldn't be talking about the Chiefs' offense without mentioning the 49ers' offense, and you shouldn't be mentioning the 49ers' defense unless you're going to mention the Chiefs, too. Because of all those years of us saying, bend, don't break, wanted to make you vomit a little in your mouth for the Chiefs' defense, because it was bend, don't break for a while, and then break all the damn time. The Chiefs' defense has actually settled into what that actual version is. They let people get some yardage on them sometimes. They let some people have successful runs. They let some people have successful passes. But like they did against the Titans, they stop you when they have to. Big players make big plays at big moments, and not just in the turnover game. The Chiefs have done a good job limiting the scoring of other teams, and the fact that they've allowed less points this whole season than the 49ers really tells you something.
It stands out, and my initial reaction to that stat, though, when I saw it for the first time, was, okay, let me look back here, though, for a second. In specific games, how much is it skewed? And even if it's skewed some, the fact that it's as close as this on the points allowed, 308 to 310, is pretty amazing. But I still go back to the New Orleans game.
Yeah, we're 48 to 46.
I mean, the 49ers in that game put up 48 points, but also gave up 46. So it kind of works on both sides of it in that stat. But that was one of them they also had. I think it was a couple weeks before, they put up 51 points on the Panthers. Like, two massive scoring outputs that, as far as that goes with the score. I mean, Kansas City, we all know, in the postseason put up 51. But other than, the Raiders game, what was the highest regular season total output
Kansas
City?
But the Chiefs defense doesn't get enough credit.
They didn't have to. There were times, and this goes back to the Mahomes stats as well, individually. There were times where they didn't have to late in fourth quarters. They were up big. They didn't have to keep on pushing it. Whereas they didn't get how many shootouts did Kansas City get in this year?
I know. But someone's for the offense in.
Yeah.
But that's the other part where the Chiefs defense doesn't get enough credit in this conversation. Because someone's going to point out the Chiefs' soft schedule. Like the Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line 69306. Someone's like, the Chiefs didn't play. You know, like the division stinks. They can't play offense. Okay. Well, here, you want to know what helped the 49ers defense? They played the Buccaneers in week one. The Buccaneers offense eventually was very good. I will admit.
Winston wasn't going on the crazy tear.
But he wasn't flameless by then, right? Week one, we agree. That was a different Buccaneers offense than it was. Sir wants to debate. He's considering saying something different about the Buccaneers offense. Because at first I was trashing them, and he was like, wait. It was a little different for them then.
It took him a while to get Bruce Arians' offense.
Correct. The Bengals, garbage. The Steelers, it turns out that was not. That was a Mason Rudolph game, and they still let up 20 points to them. The Browns let up 3. The Rams to 7 was good at that time, especially what we were considering. They held the Redskins to 0, and what was a okay, great. Weird weather, and the Redskins to 0 doesn't impress me. They held the Panthers to 13. That was an offense that never got kicking at any point this season. When they faced real offenses, Cardinals 25, Seahawks 27, Cardinals 26, Packers 8, they've again completely dominated that team over and over and over again. Holding the Ravens to 20 in a loss was impressive, but again, a blizzard. Then they faced
just a complete downpour of rain. It was
46
nasty.
To the Saints, 29 to the Falcons, 31 to the Rams the second time. I'm not trying to say the 49ers defense is bad. Please do not take it as this.
Yeah, Cody's telling you the Chiefs defense is better than the Niners defense. That's exactly what he's telling you right here. He's also telling you the Niners offense is better than the Chiefs. That's all I took from this conversation.
I'm not putting it that way, but I do think that part of what you should take away from that, because I was surprised by that stat too. I think I might have, even I, who have been complimentary of the Chiefs defense, especially in the second half of the season, might have undervalued what they did this year. When it put in perspective of what most people consider to be one of the elite defenses this year, the Chiefs hang.
You can, and I
the Chiefs hang.
You can poke holes, though, on both. And like,
yes, because I'm going to say they gave up 10 to the Raiders
twice.
Well,
that and then Matt Moore played two games for Kansas City this year. So if we're like, how many more points do they score in those two games if Mahomes is the quarterback? I mean, so there's some of that.
They scored, who are those? They scored.
The Packers and Vikings game. And they didn't have low scoring totals.
They scored 24 and
26.
26. So you would think maybe a touchdown better in both games based on 5 points better based on their scoring average, so 10 more total points. They'd still be behind the 49ers, but not by much.
And defensively, We look at
the, hard to nitpick that their defense has played defense before. Frank Clark was different.
Their defense one is more accurate. Although as when we were dissecting the Texans and Titans, the last two Chiefs opponents in the postseason, we were saying all week long for each of those. All right, week six, the defense is
and they
way
gotta
different
beat up on the Chargers and beat 10. Up on the Bears and beat up on bad offenses just the same. They let up 31 to the Packers on defense, and I just told you that neither time the 49ers did that. So if you're just looking at common opponent, they did that. I just feel like now the deeper I get into it, the more I might have undervalued what the Chiefs defense was able to do, because that stat does tell me something. Points per game is the standard I typically hold offense and defenses to more than anything else. Opponents matter, all that matters, but how many points you give up matters more than anything.
Over on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line 69306, people mentioning how many points the 49ers put up on the weaker defenses as well, and that the Niners...
Which should probably factor into that. I mean, I just gave you what their defense did on that. But yeah. The Chiefs do that against weaker defenses, too.
You can totally...
Swing this whatever way you want.
Exactly.
But the simple fact is the 49ers have scored more points than the Chiefs' offense and have let up more on defense. That surprised me to know. And to me, I think a lot of the takeaway is these teams are even.
They're both in the Super Bowl for a reason. And this is why, also, by the way, the line may have adjusted a little bit today, but it was a pick 'em for a while. It was -1 Kansas City. And now, at last check this morning, some of the books, the consensus line is up to Kansas City -1.5. And versus if they were playing the Packers, the look ahead line, the Chiefs were going to be about 5.5-point favorites. These teams are very evenly matched. It's why, besides just Kansas City being in a Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years, like if you're just a casual sports fan or typically how we normally watch the Super Bowl, like this should be a fantastic football game come February 2nd.
Serta's praying. He's still bitter about last year's Super Bowl being bad.
He's mentioned it 2 or 3 times today already.
Yeah, it was garbage. I'm still mad about how awful it was.
It was a year ago.
I don't care. Entire football season, we're talking about 5 months of my life, culminated to that.
All the waste, and you got that Super Bowl last year.
Okay. All right. Would it have been a better game if it was Chiefs-Rams?
Yes, without a doubt, because their defense was awful.
It would have been high scoring at the
very least. Yeah, saw that regular season game last year. I wanted round two of that.
Not watching the Patriots slug through another one and shut down the Rams offense.
It was a monstrosity. One of the worst football games I've ever watched in my life, except this time it took 5 hours because it's the Super Bowl.
Hey, at least this time the hometown team's in it.
Yeah, you'll enjoy those 5 hours. Well, hopefully you'll be enjoying those 5 hours. Definitely soak up these next weekend. Now, I guess a week and a half that we have until the game. The last time it was Super Bowl IV, we all know that, for Kansas City. And boy, have things changed, not only just with the product on the field, but certainly the drama and the production value and everything like that. But just some of the tidbits, just to put in perspective as well. So, like, gas was 37 cents per gallon the last time the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl. What was it say, like 225?
I didn't get gas today, so I don't want to say for sure, but somewhere in that
driving
too,
by.
Right?
You know, is it just me when I drive by? I keep an eye. Like, I look at the sign when I drive by. I'm like, okay.
How old are you?
I keep an eye on it. Like, okay.
I like to check out those prices just in case I want to get some gas.
I know which gas station is cheaper than the other one. There's some right across the street that are more than the other. I know which one to go to, which one not to go to.
You're like a 70-year-old man. I just go to the Quick Trip by my house. Like, that's where I get gas. I'm not worried about, like, shopping
when
for
I go
4 cents.
There's the QT right by our work. I usually that actually is the better price.
Well, you're already doing it wrong because it's more expensive in Kansas. You should just be driving to Missouri for your gas.
I'm going to drive across the state line to get gas. I don't need to do that.
Price checked.
You should.
No.
I live in Missouri. I wait till I get to Missouri to get gas because it is significantly cheaper. I go to Quick Trip or I go to Hy-Vee and use my Fuel Savers card.
I said I'm willing to go across the street. I know if there's like 4 gas stations within a mile of each other, which one's going
to
be cheaper.
Yeah,
I know
pay attention.
But I'm not going
to
drive. I know from here where we're at our station, it's not far to get to the state line. But I'm not going to drive an extra 5 minutes that way to go get gas. I'm not that crazy. That's more old man-ish.
So at least you're not 72.
Do you still look for the full service, the one random full service gas station that exists?
How am I the one being made fun of here because I buy cheaper gas near my home and
you're
never
telling me to drive
it
to another state? To get gas.
I'm saying if you're willing to price check 4 different gas stations in your area for gas, the simple solution would be just go get it in Missouri.
You act like I'm going and like reading through the newspaper or something to find the gas prices. There's an app.
Who has an app for that?
There's like a Gas Buddy app.
I've never heard of that.
Seriously? I can't be the only one here.
I am dead serious.
I cannot. Yeah.
Someone that's just, the text line.
It's the text line. Just mentioned the same app I did. Yeah. It tells you where the cheapest gas is. It's
all
easy.
Of you should have the Gas Buddy app. I'm not doing that.
That's the way to do it. You know, you're not driving over
yeah,
in other
but
places.
Like, if I go to Raytown, gas is generally even cheaper in Raytown than it is in the city. So I'll fill up my tank over there. But I'm not using an app to let me know, hey, if I drive 20 blocks this way, it's cheaper.
People are disputing, by the way, your theory on and I don't know if it's a theory or not, Kansas gas more than gas in Missouri.
It is, but definitively
anyway, true. The reason I bring it up is, it obviously, times have changed, Super Bowl 4 to Super Bowl 54. The iconic photo, though, we all remember and has been brought up and I'm sure will be shown hundreds of times over the next week and a half, of course.
Well,
Lenny,
that's what makes, when I think about how long it's been, I go back to watching looking at that photo.
That photo with Lenny there in the locker room smoking this cigarette, and he's got that glass of Fresca, that bottle of Fresca there on the ground. The iconic photo we've all seen time and time again. And so we were thinking, like, what would that recreation, Mahomes, after a Super Bowl win or it's at halftime, if we could actually have that photo, how much different would that look now in 2020 from back in the 70s?
I mean, different. One, it's hard to imagine he'd be smoking just a straight heater in the middle of that. Although I'm pretty sure that he'd still just be like, the sad part is like, it would disturb you to think about what that photo looks like in today's terms, because I'm 99.9% convinced, and I'll take suggestions at the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, 69306. I'm 99.9% sure that if that photo didn't exist of Lynn Dawson, and then now existed in today's terms, it would just be Patrick Mahomes using a vape and drinking a White Claw, which is just so different than what the actual image is in a way.
That would be the direct, I think that would be the direct comp. Absolutely. White Claw, although even though Lenny didn't have the have an alcoholic beverage next to him, but White Claw would be that just in today's, and definitely the vape. That definitely would be the vape. For me, I think of, I'm going to go Mahomes just like the full-on endorsement route nowadays, the difference in endorsements and what you're able to have nowadays in 2020. Like, give me that Mahomes Crunch cereal. He's just gonna
I like
be,
that he just immediately goes for it.
He's, you know, just he's going to have that bowl of cereal at halftime. Mahomes Crunch, the Hy-Vee Cola, too. Let's just go all out with the Hy-Vee products. Just the Hy-Vee Cola, the Mahomes Crunch, all out. Maybe even has that, it was like the Essentia water that his endorsements are through. Just gonna have, it's just going to be the full line of products. He might even have the Oakleys on. I don't know.
You know what? That's probably a good point. Full-blown endorsement is way different than what it used to be. So everything he uses is just based on the fact that it's some marketing ploy. I appreciate that. In a way, that's right. Sir, do you got a different example?
I would have a cigar and a Four Loko.
Four Loko.
The new seltzer Four Loko or just some different?
Wait, hold on. There's a seltzer version now?
Yes.
Have you had
that? No, I just saw an ad for it. That's all.
Really?
Oh, God.
I'm intrigued.
Cigar, that's just Joe Burrow talking.
Yeah.
He did look pretty cool with that cigar. I'm not going to lie. Not saying
I guarantee you Patrick Mahomes would not be told to put the cigar out.
You don't think security and cops would be bursting into the Chiefs locker room down there in Miami, telling them to stop smoking like they were in New Orleans? Hopefully there's not a former chief. I don't think there'd be a former chief around slapping a cop on the rear either.
No, we probably wouldn't go through that. Back I still home. Stand by mine, but yes, I could see the advertisement thing absolutely plays, but it's got to almost be like in that Wayne's World scene when he's like drinking a Pepsi, wearing the shirt, having on the hat, going through, like, the whole recreation of that photo is just one giant Mahomes billboard of products either he personally endorses or has endorsed over that time. Mahomes Crunch cereal, Hy-Vee or not. But if it's me, I'm going to guess it's a vape pen and a White Claw.
White Claw. Which flavor? What are we going with?
The
mango? Or
sure.
The, what is it, the ruby grapefruit one?
No, mango's good.
Just stick with the mango all the way
I haven't
around.
Had a lot of White Claws, but I've had the mango. Let's go.
You're not
that.
A White Claw guy. Okay. Oh, that's right.
I got nothing against. I didn't say I didn't drink. I'm an equal opportunist when it comes to drinking. I just haven't had that many White Claws. Don't pin me into a
The text
corner.
Line's giving us some good suggestions. Someone said he'd have ketchup naturally. That would have been a good one to have. Just a guy that goes with the endorsement route, right? Just have a bottle of ketchup.
I assume somebody would
halftime.
Go that route. Yes. But I feel like ketchup is a hard thing to drink. I was thinking specifically beverage, although I will not poo-poo the text line for saying that.
Have some ketchup. Well, who knows? Maybe he's having a halftime snack or something like that. So we'll continue to take some of your suggestions on this. What a recreation of that famous Lynn Dawson photo from the Super Bowl would look like. Coming up next, a chance in our national cash contest at $1,000. And What's everyone going to be talking about on Radio Row? Not necessarily on the field, but what Chiefs player may be most likely to make the biggest news and make the comment that gets overblown? We'll predict that.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com. Time now for our national cash contest.
1,000 on the 30s here on 610 Sports Radio. You're going to text the code word glitter to 72881. I think we're familiar with a very glitter song from back in the day, right? G-L-I-T-T-E-R. The $1,000 cash winner in the national cash contest. 610 Sports Radio, the only one here in KC, sports radio station that is, giving you a chance at 8,000 bucks. Just listen on the 30s. We'll have another chance coming for you at 12:30. Complete rules up at 610sports.com, but make sure you text GLITTER to 72881. That's G-L-I-T-T-E-R for a chance at 1,000 bucks. We had a $1,000 winner last week. Looking for another one this week, next week, whenever. So just go ahead and text that over to 72881.
Right around 20 minutes away from Andy Reid. He's expected to address the media. We'll carry that live for you. Also, Patrick Mahomes today, Anthony Hitchens, Mitchell Schwartz, and Damian Williams. So we want to hear from some of the Chiefs as they continue to get set, as they'll head to Miami on Sunday afternoon. I think they're supposed to arrive there or already be there around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Again, we'll have plenty of coverage starting on Sunday from Miami, again, set for Super Bowl 54. We were talking about if you could recreate that iconic Lynn Dawson photo from halftime of Super Bowl 4, what would that look like? We gave you some of our ideas. Cody tweeted that out as well on his Twitter account, at Cody B. Tapp. On the text line, Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line, 69306. This is a good one. This might be the best one we've had text in. This kind of goes with my theme of the endorsement route for Mahomes.
Which is a route.
This said, to recreate the picture in today's world, Pat Mahomes would be sitting on a metal folding chair from Nebraska Furniture Mart, wearing Oakley's, drinking a Chiefs Kingdom Blonde Ale, next to his State Farm agent, Stephanie, eating a tomahawk steak with ketchup. That fits.
It does. That plays. Honestly, that route's not bad. It's really not bad. It's pretty strong, just generally speaking. But I'll give credit. Credit where credit's due. I mean, somebody also just said instead of a cigarette, it's just a French fry out of his mouth, which is also
some ketchup nearby.
Probably an accurate statement based on what we know about Patrick Mahomes as well. But I'll take suggestions. I like them. Because there's a lot of 2020 versions. I just know that it's not a cigarette and a fresca.
Definitely not.
Anymore. The 2020 version of that is not that anymore.
It has not been a cigarette and a fresca for quite some time, I would guess. We had this conversation 20 years ago. Still wouldn't be that, I would imagine.
No, probably not. But boy,
you got to go back at least
30
or 40.
I'm going to think way too hard about that.
You got
to
go back at least 30 or 40 or so to get in that territory whatsoever. And so when Radio Row gets going for us next week at the Super Bowl, and there's all these storylines that are out there, trying to figure out what people are going to be discussing, we've gone through the obvious stuff, which are the legacies of Reid and Mahomes and Kyle Shanahan, things like that. But also at the same time, every year, if anybody's covered a Super Bowl or you just paid attention to Radio Row a week, there's always a comment or two, whether it's good or bad, a player says something coming off of that opening media night that blows up and is kind of a big theme of the week, essentially. And also, people nationally write columns about things that maybe locally we've discussed for years or haven't discussed in years, right? And how do we see that going? Because I think there's a few obvious ones where who or what is everybody talking about on Radio Row next week? The biggest off-the-field storyline, or what Chiefs player, for me, is most likely to make the comment that just gets overblown? And on the 49ers side, most people are going to say Richard Sherman. That seems like the obvious
fairly
one.
Obvious guess.
Now, if
yes.
You're here in Kansas City, maybe it's something that Dee Ford has to say, because he did speak recently. We'll have some of that for you, a quote that he said that I think maybe got taken out of context a little bit.
I think he made it out of context.
Yeah, he may not have understood what he actually was saying. We'll explain that momentarily. But for the Chiefs, there's two guys that come to mind right away. First, it's got to be Frank Clark, who makes a comment that gets people talking, specifically maybe on the other side. We've already seen it recently, haven't we?
Leader in the clubhouse, yes.
I mean, first of all, after the game, right. Like, after this past game, he said this.
And all we do is continue to prove to them who the baddest motherfuckers on the planet are.
Hey, you're saying stuff like that before the Titans game. You're mentioning, well,
Derrick
Henry,
not that hard to
240,
tackle.
245, 250. We've tackled guys like that before. Backed it up. We all know that. So there's no reason to believe that he's not going to continue talking with that confidence, him and other guys. My pick, I'll settle with Frank Clark. Come Monday night, I think he has the comment that maybe, not controversial, but just who he is, this attitude that he has about this defense, maybe directed toward the 49ers a little bit?
I think someone might say Kelce, because in times past, he's been really good. For a quote like that, when he's calling the Zebras, like, you know, working at Foot Locker and going through, He's had some quotes over the years that have been picked up in a big way over the course of that. But last week, I actually saw him be the voice of reason when it was Tyreek Hill who had instead said something about being uncoverable that then got blown somewhat out of proportion for an AFC title game because, you know, Kelce had said, hey, look, we're just trying to say that we're more confident people. I thought Frank Clark's comments last week were way more directly in the face of the opponent they were getting ready to take on. But while Clark is probably the most obvious answer, there's a couple I know it isn't.
Definitely not Mahomes.
It's not going to be Sammy Watkins. He's never really said anything that got him in trouble during that time. I think Chris Jones tends to be a little more careful in these situations versus when, you know, there are times when he's like, I know that he can be good for a quote too, but I think he tends to be a little more careful.
And that changed. That changed after earlier in the season, I think, a little bit.
It did.
With his comment about the fans and the attendance of opposing.
I know, but it shouldn't. Chris Jones should be feel free to say what he feels is right in that moment. I would constantly encourage him to do that. I actually think my answer goes back to Tyreek Hill because I think that this offense is riding the kind of high that they're not going to let the 49ers defensive unit stand the test of get the conversation that they think that they should have. Like, it's one thing if, you know, parts of, like, the 49ers, that was Derrick Henry. Frank Clark could step in it, but there's nobody on their offense that they're just going to just, like, beat down your throat the way it is. They're going to talk about that 49ers defense over and over and over again. And I think it'll be an offensive player who probably says something to the confidence level that they spoke before, which is why Tyreek Hill feels like a kind of obvious choice for that.
Was it last Thursday or Friday? Yeah, he had the comment that basically said nobody can match up with him. Nobody can stick with him.
Wasn't wrong.
And he wasn't wrong. But I think it'd be something like that where it's not a full-blown, hey, he's not going to specifically say the 49ers can't guard us. But he's going to continue, I think, talking about what he mentioned even heading into that Titans game. It'll be something along those lines. I also think just storyline, fortunately, unfortunately, depending on what side you're on, you know, you're going to have two, I think, national stories kind of be brought back that aren't discussed here in Kansas City recently, unfortunately, that will come back up. And I already have seen it through social media. And the two that come to mind, I think we can all expect is just to be prepared for it next week. There's two things. One, you're going to have a column or two nationally, I think, about the Chiefs and the Tomahawk chop, just because it will come up nationally because it'll be at the forefront with the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. We already had one columnist write something here fairly recently.
He's a Native American columnist.
And I'm not saying that people shouldn't feel a certain way. I just think that will become something that you see mentioned quite a bit, at least nationally. I also think the Tyreek Hill stuff in the past will be brought up again. It's just where, no matter, we see it, and we've seen this kind of stuff happen with other teams are there. If there's any controversy around an organization or a specific player, nationally, it's going to be brought to the forefront again. And so that's something that they'll have to deal with a little bit.
Obviously, we know the D Ford conversation comes into this too, and probably the previous quarterbacks between the two franchises that are so shared. The thing that will benefit both those teams for the skeletons that probably live in both closets, because someone should probably re-bring back up the fact that Emmanuel Sanders was coming to Kansas City and then didn't. I actually spoke to him the last time he was in the Super Bowl about that. He was like, look, it was a better situation. I was there covering Radio Row the week that he was there with Denver after he had ditched Kansas City to go to Denver to go win a Super Bowl. And it worked. Can't blame him for his decision-making at that time. He went to go win a Super Bowl and finds himself in another Super Bowl again. But the thing that will benefit those guys, because you say Tyreek Hill, but if you're going to say that, you might as well say Frank Clark too.
Yeah, sure.
Because they both have those pasts, and we know that those things will be brought up in columns in the weeks leading up to these, you know, in the next 10 days leading up to the game. We know those things will be brought up. They're really helped by the fact all the teams that have any skeletons they want to hide and only want positive storylines, including the Chiefs, are really helped by the fact that Patrick Mahomes is an impossibly good dude who is very likable and a future star of the NFL, if not the star of the NFL now, and Andy Reid's story that comes from not winning that Super Bowl. While I think that some of those other storylines will come up, because Emmanuel Sanders' storyline should come up, D Ford going offsides should come up. You know, the tail end of some of the guys that come in through there, because there are good stories, as we well know. We heard from Mike Pennell earlier from The Drive yesterday. Like, there are great stories that come up with individual players that you had no idea about, including, you know, we even saw, you know, a Chiefs player mention that he used to work at Dolphin Stadium and now he gets to be there. All those things will factor in. I think an overwhelming majority of positive stories do come up. I think so many of the things that will come up will be based on quotes that come from there. And there are several players on both sides that I think are capable of getting a quote that blows up.
There is. And you know, the stories that I mentioned, the two, I'm not saying those are going to be the number one dominating stories. I'm just saying, other than the obvious ones about the game itself and guys passed in a positive way, and which will definitely be, we have 6,000 media members there all week long on Radio Row and everything. Someone's going to write something negative, okay? Someone's going.
Oh, I know.
There will be plenty.
And there'll be plenty.
I promise you.
The two obvious ones you mentioned, the domestic violence past of two former Chiefs players, are at the forefront of that. If you're saying
someone's already writing it right now, I promise you. Promise you. Someone's already working on it. They're waiting to get in a quote or so next week, but they're already writing.
But beyond that, the Chiefs don't have a lot of storylines that kind of fall under that category for me. Like personal stuff.
Those are things that people have moved on from. Right. In Kansas City, we haven't talked about some of that stuff in a long, like even
years,
the, even
or
the
a year probably.
Yeah, even the tomahawk chop and the name the Chiefs, like that doesn't come up here in a while. I know it has, of course, but
it always comes up anytime. And there was a national writer who's of Native American descent who wrote about it here recently. And I think those conversations will continue to come up as long as the Chiefs are named the Chiefs and have an arrowhead as a logo. Got rid of some of the things that people found more offensive about their cultural background, which including war paint and the factors that kind of came, they got rid of some of those things that factor into the rest of that. I understand
that's
that.
That's a bigger NFL
but that
issue,
is forever,
too.
That will forever be that doesn't matter if the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl or not, somebody will always have, and I'm not saying they shouldn't, have an issue with that portion of the Chiefs' history, and we'll continue to say, his big chief was the mayor, and this is these are the things that factored in, and what other sides you land on, because you can land on both sides of that. I would say that it factors itself in. But I just continue to say that those storylines will kind of move.
And I think those are NFL issues as well. I mean, if Washington was in the Super Bowl, it would be even more magnified versus if Kansas City was in the Super Bowl, just in terms of that particular issue as well. All right, coming up next, we expect to hear from Andy Reid. We'll get a break in here, and when we hear from him, we'll also expect to hear from Patrick Mahomes. We also have a 4-pack of tickets to Royals Fan Fest still to give away here. It's Cody and Gold.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.